Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
The last few weeks have seen a very interesting shift and move in our culture, I guess, here in the United States.
Another one.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk a little bit about it today. I would not refer to this in any way as a political podcast. We usually stay pretty clear out of the political arena, unless it has to do with education, maybe mental health services and those kinds of things.
Yeah, political decisions that affect educational policy, mental right. health policy. There are times when we've discussed those, but we've steered clear of partisan politics.
Right.
The whole notion of liberals and conservatives and Republicans and Democrats and any other way that right. divide people on issues,
right.
Whether they're personality issues or political issues or economic issues.
Right. But today we're going to come very close to crossing that line a little bit.
Right.
Because
yeah, we are.
We're going to there's a topic, there's a series of events that's mm-hmm. been happening that we have been talking about around the office, and we just mm-hmm. can't not talk about.
Right. There are times when political decisions stir up psychological issues,
right.
Important psychological issues,
right.
not opinions,
right.
but important psychological issues. And it happened a week ago
mm-hmm.
Regarding immigration policy.
Right.
Okay. And the at issue is the separation of children from parents.
Right.
Okay. And as psychologists, we feel that it's legitimate for us to weigh in on this topic, because separating children, especially young children,
mm-hmm.
Any age child, but especially young children,
right.
by young, I would say pre-pubertal,
right.
Younger than 12.
Right.
I think teenagers might be a little better equipped
right.
to handle
right.
it. Older teenagers, certainly.
They certainly understand the situation a little bit better
right.
than younger kids.
But a child younger than 12 or 13, it's a traumatic
mm-hmm.
event, and children younger than 5, it's incredibly traumatic,
right.
and there could be lifelong implications for
Absolutely.
This kind of policy. And so there are times when a political decision weighs heavily in
right.
psychological, psychiatric well-being, and
right.
I think that makes it a legitimate topic to talk about.
Yeah, we're gonna tread a little bit lightly, again, just because it's not... In my opinion, at least, and I think yours as well, it's not necessarily a Republican versus Democrat issue, though some of the decisions are along those party lines.
Right.
The concern is, and what we really want to talk about, is the implication or the implications that some of these policies have had that we're already starting to see. I mean, within a month of everything happening,
right.
You know, some of these decisions being made, we're already seeing some interesting implications, and then what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that a lot of this started, and so I guess I'm trying to think of where best to start.
Every country needs an immigration policy.
Right.
Okay. Every country in the world has an immigration policy.
Right.
If you're over a certain age, countries are not going to admit you because
right.
you become a drain on their healthcare system.
Right.
Okay. So these are sensible.
Right.
And we understand why these... So every country has immigration policies.
Right.
Our country has had a mixed system,
mm-hmm.
you know, where at times we have invited immigrants in
right.
and kind of winked at it, you know, certainly during the Industrial Revolution. We invited immigrants from all over the world
right.
to come in to man our factories, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so we were a little lax on that one. Other times we've been very, very strict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are students and professors who would like to get green cards to come to the United States to study or to teach,
mm-hmm.
and they've been denied because of the quota system that we have.
Right.
And yet there are other parts of our immigration policy that are porous, and allow undocumented individuals to come in. And I think at issue here is the immigrants coming from Mexico. They may originate in South and Central America, but they travel through Mexico and come across our border.
Right.
We have never really dealt with that issue.
Right.
Okay. There have been, for many decades, we have simply turned a blind eye to people crossing the border. When they get into this country, they're employed at under, but they're underpaid.
Right.
They're mistreated. Some are held almost in slavery-like conditions. They're taken advantage of, but they can't say anything.
Right.
Because they're illegal, and they could, they would get deported. Okay, so it's an unfair system, for the country because you have people coming in illegally, but it's also unfair for the immigrants because they are easily victimized. Okay, by a system that they can't fight against. They just have to take whatever's offered, whether it's a sweatshop or a restaurant or a field or a farm or a factory or a slaughterhouse. They simply have to. Take what's given because they have no rights.
And I think that clearly for them, for many of them, even those unfortunate circumstances may be better than what they came from.
Absolutely.
Which is certainly why they stay.
And that's what you have to think about, is that it's better than they wouldn't have left otherwise.
Right.
I mean, they're not coming here to live in at the Mandalay Bay, you know, in Las Vegas. They're coming here because even these dire circumstances are better than what they left.
So that's sort of at the root of some of these issues, and but it, you know, it culminated earlier, I guess earlier this month, when it was decided that a zero tolerance policy, for lack of a better phrase, I suppose, has been implemented that would incarcerate anyone who is caught crossing the border. And, you know, you can incarcerate adults, but you can't incarcerate their minor children. And so the minor children are have been held in a separate location, removed from their parents.
But again, we don't have facilities to house children. We don't have facilities to house all the adults. Because what happens is if parents can be detained, but there are so many that you can't detain all of them. I mean, you'd have a large prison system across the whole southern border of the United States and along all the coasts. But you can't incarcerate children. So typically, my understanding is, and I'm certainly not an immigration expert, my understanding is that if you have children, you're allowed into the country, but then you were told to report to court to decide whether you could stay or not. That's the part that wasn't enforced, because the courts couldn't find them. They would get into the country, be here for a few months, and disappear, and nobody could find them. And they would work under the table. You know, they would get jobs, and they would work for lower wages than American workers. And so they worked on farms, they worked in restaurants, they worked in factories and slaughterhouses. And it was a benefit to the employer because he was able to spend less for workers than he would have to pay American workers, especially unionized American workers. And it was okay for the immigrants because they were making enough money to subsist. If their children were born in this country, they automatically became citizens. So how do you deport parents and not children? So the loophole was they were asked to return to court so a decision could be made, but they didn't show up at court. So the Trump administration comes in and decides, we're going to stop that. We're going to plug that loophole, and we're going to stop them at the border, and we're going to keep them here until we decide whether they're going to stay or not. In doing that, it automatically separated the children from their parents, because you can incarcerate adults, but you can't incarcerate children. So there were a few days last week, where news cameras captured these children and parents being separated, and the heart-wrenching videos of these children being separated from their parents. So that was sort of the problem that was created. So we understand what the laws are. And when the Attorney General gets up and says, we have these laws and we have to enforce them, Yes, but there are always ways to enforce laws that don't inflict pain.
Right.
And from a psychological standpoint, this particular policy, this zero tolerance policy, inflicted horrific right. pain, especially on young children.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's a major concern. And, you know, we have to, whether they're U.S. citizens or not, mm-hmm. we do have a obligation, I think, at least those of us who have chosen to work with people in a healthcare type of setting, you know, we have to think about what these effects are on their mm-hmm. psychological well-being, their emotional well-being, and, you know, what mm-hmm. does this do to some of these people long term?
Right.
Because as you said, you know, if you have a 3-year-old that's separated from his parents, mm-hmm. And he's put in a setting where he doesn't know anyone, and
right.
you know, he's sort of ushered around, and mm-hmm. You know, you have to think about, you know, I don't know that there's been any firm numbers as far as how many kids are being detained or how many kids are being sheltered in.
Well, last week it was 2,300.
Right.
Okay, that was the number that most of the news outlets
right.
said. About 2,300 kids got separated.
That's a lot of.
It's a lot of kids.
A lot of kids.
And 239 were flown to New York City
mm-hmm.
and were lost. The mayor of New York City didn't know they were coming. They were just delivered to various shelters in New York. And I don't know whether there's nobody keeping track of all this
right.
is the other problem. And so we don't know whether we're going to be able to locate some of these kids because nobody's quite sure where they went.
Right. And I think that, you know, part of this is the challenge with media because we
right.
we don't know anything for sure.
Exactly.
We have mm-hmm. these reports, you know, that I saw a news report last week where I guess one of the videos that showed a child crying mm-hmm. when his mom mm-hmm. was being taken, that I guess the father, according to the news report, the father later said, no, that wasn't what was happening. You know, it was something else happening. And so, you know, then of course people are saying, well, that's the news media trying to, you know, sway right. you in a direction to believe. So mm-hmm. we only know what we are presented.
Right.
And then I think that we then sort of extrapolate from that and sort of start making our own other
right.
opinions and other assumptions. And that, I think, has led to some of these other issues that we've right. seen since.
Right. And once again, what we have now is yet another contentious, divisive issue.
Right.
Okay. Let's take all the politics out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Separating young children from their parents is bad policy.
Right.
Okay. There has to be a better way.
Right.
Okay. For whatever reason, whether it's the Attorney General or whether it's Stephen Miller, who's an advisor to President Trump, whoever came up with this idea, whatever your reasons were, there has to be a better way.
Right.
All right. I don't know what it is. I don't pretend to know what it is. But I know there has to be a better way for this country to treat children than to take them away from their parents,
right.
whether it's 2 children or 2,000 children.
Right.
There has to be a better way. And as a professional psychologist and educator, there are times when you can't just sit by and say, well, I guess that's the law and so we have to obey it.
Right.
You know? No, there's always a better way. There's
right.
always a good way to do things.
Right.
We tell our children, always do the right thing.
Right.
Okay. And the right thing here is not to separate parents from
right.
children. Doesn't matter what happened. Unless the child is being abused by the parent, you don't separate parents and children.
Right.
Okay. Bad. Everybody knows that's a bad policy.
So this whole process has really created a lot of anger in society.
As so many policies have.
Especially recently.
Right.
Has really created a lot of anger and frustration. And this, I think, is another... I think this is my biggest concern about this whole policy. And this is rooted in the Supreme Court decision from earlier this month that upheld the... supported the baker who refused service to the... gay couple who wanted to get a wedding cake for their wedding, and he, you know, denied them service and said that
based upon their
sexual orientation,
right,
and
said he should have the right to say no,
right,
if he objects on moral grounds,
right,
that no, I should not be forced to serve somebody,
right,
with whom I disagree,
right.
Okay.
Now I think that there's a lot of,
and the Supreme Court said he has a right to say no,
right. Right. The Supreme Court made that ruling, and I think on the surface, let me say it this way. I think as it relates to that specific type of case, there are a couple of different arguments that you can make about that. You know, certainly a business owner has the right to serve anyone that they choose to serve.
That's right.
You know, one of the things that the Supreme Court said was that, of course, that you can't deny someone service based upon their religion or their race. But I've heard certainly people who have made the argument that, well, that's a strange line that you're drawing, because mm-hmm. the reason that the baker didn't want to serve the couple was because of moral reasons, which was because he was a Christian and he doesn't believe in homosexuality, and mm-hmm. so he didn't want to serve them. And so religion did have a role in it. It wasn't denied because of the couple's religion.
Right.
But it was denied because
of the baker's,
because of the baker's,
religion.
As it relates to their decision. So,
right.
And again, that's not the argument that we're going to make here. The argument that I'd like to make here, it's not really an argument, it's just a concern, a worry, is that that has cascaded into a slew of newspaper articles and reports on the internet and behaviors by people that is really doing nothing but fostering more hate and more divisiveness and more what we just keep referring to as the us versus them mentality.
Right.
And I think it's a very dangerous road that we're on.
I think that from a psychological standpoint,
right,
I think what we're saying is the country's headed into some dangerous territory.
Right.
Because of the divisiveness. We talk nonchalantly now about the divide in Washington.
Right.
Of good guys and bad guys, and we're going to do everything we can to win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever it takes, we're going to do whatever we can to win, and we are going to have these policies. Now, some of these policies are divisive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when morality was introduced into politics, and it's probably always been there, but it came to the surface when Karl Rove.
Mm-hmm.
Introduced it during the first, the second Bush administration, where suddenly religion and politics and morality became important issues. And we started arguing about homosexuality and divorce mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. gay marriage. And we started arguing not about political issues or or economic issues. We began arguing about religion and morality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is no resolution.
Right.
People have been fighting about religion since Cain and Abel, okay, to
right.
continue the analogy. There are always going to be disagreements.
Right.
Christians and Muslims, Jews and Muslims, Hindus and Muslims. We've always had these.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw it play out in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, mm-hmm. with Catholics versus Protestants,
right.
killing each other, bombing their buildings,
right.
killing their children. So we've seen where these divisive mm-hmm. issues take countries. And we have a number of these issues that are beginning to emerge in our country. And the articles that we're posting
yeah.
are about, in today's podcast, are about government officials
mm-hmm.
who were refused service in several restaurants.
Right.
Okay. And that's what we want to talk about. And that's what sort of impelled us
right.
to bring this issue up today is when we saw the articles about government officials being denied service or even being asked to leave restaurants, we thought, wow, this is becoming an issue of some importance, significance, that maybe we ought to talk about.
Right.
Is this the kind of country we want to be? Not because they were denied service, not because children were separated. That's not what we're talking about. These are simply tips of icebergs that are leading us in a direction that I'm not sure we ought to go or that we want to go as a country.
Right. Yeah. So in the news, we've heard about the Homeland Security Secretary, Christian Nielsen, and Sarah Sanders, the
White House Press Secretary.
Press Secretary, being refused service at various restaurants.
Right.
Sarah Sanders was asked to leave the Red Hen, and Christian Nielsen was asked to leave a Mexican restaurant. And what I think is, there's at least three areas that we have to talk about with this.
Yeah, there's a third person who got caught, Stephen Miller.
Oh, right.
Stephen Miller was also in a Mexican restaurant. Stephen Miller is apparently the architect of the zero tolerance policy. Right. He's a well-known xenophobe. He sits at Trump's right hand and just carries out all of these real nationalistic, sometimes xenophobic policies that the current administration is advocating now. And Stephen Miller was the architect of the zero tolerance policy.
Right.
So we have the architect of the zero tolerance policy, we have the director of Homeland Security who executes the laws, and Sarah Sanders who justifies as press secretary.
Right.
And all three of these people have been confronted at restaurants.
Right.
Okay.
So there's a few concerns as it relates to, again, thinking about this from a mental health, psychological perspective, there are a number of things that's concerning about this. One is, I think the conspiratorial nature of where people are going with this. You know, when you read some of these articles, there's one article that says that, Christian Nielsen going into the Mexican restaurant to eat at the same time that kids
are
being...
The same day. It was exactly the same day.
That kids are being separated was an intentional decision that was made to sort of rub it in that they are, that this immigration policy is being done and that she's going to go and be served by, and enjoy this food and be served by these people from this culture that she's, damaging.
Right. And that...
That's very conspiratorial. I mean, that's...
Well... That's one position, okay? The other side of the issue is, well, we have to uphold our laws, and this is how we're going to do things, and this is the policy, and she's just doing her job of enforcing the policy. And she should have a right to eat wherever she wants.
Right.
That's what one side would say. And the other side would argue and say, no, it's intentional. She went to this restaurant. Away on the other side are people who would say she did this on purpose to rub their nose in it. Okay, so you have these two extremes.
Right.
And then you have people like Ann Coulter, who is simply she's simply throwing Molotov cocktails, as Ann Coulter has done for years, saying that these are child actors. And she looks right in the camera and tells President Trump not to fall for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ann is in her own category, and I don't mind saying that. She's just creating trouble, another word for it. So you have the two extremes.
Right.
Okay. We're not siding with either extreme.
Right.
We usually don't. What we're saying is, when you start to raise these divisive issues, you are going to inspire, for lack of a better word, bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the Charlottesville riots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Here you have two groups, both of whom felt they were right.
Right.
You're not going to solve the problem. And what happens? Where does it end up? It ends up with some young man getting in his car and plowing his car into a bunch of people and killing somebody.
Right.
That's usually where this stuff ends up. Something right. bad usually happens.
Right.
And I fear that that's where we're going now. I don't want to see these people denied service in a restaurant.
Right.
I don't want to see a gay couple denied a wedding cake. And I don't want to see women denied birth control at a pharmacy by a pharmacist who doesn't agree with birth control.
Right.
I don't want to see any of those things happen.
Right.
I don't want to see Sarah Sanders. I don't agree with Sarah Sanders or any of these people in this administration, but I don't want them to be denied service. Don't want them to be denied service in a restaurant.
Right.
Okay. Nor do I want people to be killed by cars, and I don't want people right. to be denied birth control or a wedding cake.
Right.
We shouldn't be in that kind of, our country shouldn't operate that way.
Right.
Okay. There has to be a better way.
Right. And I think that that leads to the sort of the second and sort of the crossover of the second and the third issues with what's happening. And that is, we're getting into this tit for tat.
That's right.
Type of scenario where, and there's no one that's going to win.
No, no, you can't. No, there is no winner here.
Because if we say, well, they should be denied these services because, hey, look, you know, this baker didn't have to
right.
serve this gay couple. So, you know, if they don't want to serve them, they shouldn't have to serve them. And if they don't want to serve them because of their positions, mm-hmm. their policies, their ideas, their beliefs, mm-hmm. then, hey, you know, that's just the consequence of them having those beliefs and ideas right. and perspectives. What we're doing, we continue to move towards the extremes.
That's right.
You know, because no one has ever been in an argument where one person calls the other person a name, a bad name.
Mm-hmm.
The other person counters with an equally damaging
right.
insult.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, oh, my bad. You know, can we be friends again? Because, you know, you got me with
right.
that name.
Mm.
And so let's, you know, we should be friends now.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
No.
Because so what happens instead, which is what we saw earlier this week, was we have a congresswoman who, I can't remember her name.
Maxine Waters.
Who you know, kind of goes out and says, yes, we should be, proposes all restaurant owners to deny service to anyone in the Trump administration. And then President Trump responds by referring to her as low IQ and, you know, other names. And
that's what he said in public.
Right. That was on Twitter, I think,
right.
or I think it was either on Twitter or in a conference, but It doesn't, I don't know what's being solved. And instead, what's happening is, again, we're just pushing everyone further and further to the extremes.
Right.
And it's creating so much hatred and anger mm-hmm. and just these vitriol responses
right.
From everyone. So we're just clashing mm-hmm. in so many areas.
Right.
And these are topics that, you know, that people... we just don't talk about, because we're just, you know, the goal is to win. You know,
right.
I want my policy to win. I want that policy to lose. And when it's purely an us versus them, when every Republican has to hate every Democrat and every Democrat has to, you know, think that every Republican is, you know, evil,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to get anywhere. Progressive. We're not going to progress in any way here in this country.
Right. That's right. We have now with this restaurant business. There are other people who have done podcasts and mentioned this. If you deny, and this is the danger. This is the slippery slope that we're standing on right now. If you deny a person. And your decision is prejudicial
mm-hmm.
because of race, religion, national origin, whatever.
Right.
If your decision is prejudicial, most people feel that it's wrong.
Right.
Now, if your decision is based on a person's actions,
right?
For example, if I deny you service because you're gay, that's one issue.
Mm-hmm.
If I deny you service because your actions are problematic. For example, if I was in France in World War II, people who cooperated with the occupying forces, those collaborators, they were punished after the war.
Mm-hmm.
What is there a difference between denying service to somebody based on their religion or their sexual orientation versus denying service for somebody who's advocating a policy that is detrimental to people?
Mm-hmm.
The policy of separating children from parents was detrimental.
Right.
Stephen Miller, Sarah Sanders, and Kristen Nielsen, were all involved in that. So was Jeff Sessions, so was a lot of other people were.
Right.
But these are the people who went into the restaurant. Those were actions that are damaging to a group of mm-hmm. innocent people. They had no reason. These mm-hmm. children had no reason to be caught in this. This was not a good policy.
Mm-hmm.
But their actions hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Does that justify it? And that's the question that some people are asking.
Right.
You know, somebody said, one of these articles said, I have a right not to serve Charles Manson.
Mm-hmm.
I have a right not to serve a Nazi war criminal
mm-hmm.
because of their actions.
Mm-hmm.
Is that different from prejudice? I don't know the I'm not a philosopher. I'm not a moral philosopher. I don't know the answer to that question.
Right.
But I know that this doesn't stop itself. This is going to get worse.
Right.
Because if you deny somebody based on their, if you can deny somebody based on their sexual orientation, why can't you deny somebody based on their religious beliefs? Why, if I use my religious beliefs,
right.
I can do pretty much whatever I want. I can justify just about anything.
Right.
Okay. So do we want to live in a country where we put signs in window? We used to live in a country
right.
that said colored only, whites only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we reserved the right to serve
right.
only people of one color. We used to live in that country.
Right.
Do we want to go back to that?
Right.
Or do we want to head in a new direction? And I think this kind of divisiveness puts us back to whites only. You know,
right.
should we have separate drinking fountains? Should we mm-hmm. have one for Muslims and one for Christians, one for gays and one for straights? Where does it end? Where does the divisiveness end?
Right.
Usually it ends in wars or somebody gets killed. Civil
right.
wars.
Yeah.
I don't pretend to have the solution,
even though we don't have the solution, we know the consequences.
We know where it's going to go.
And the consequences are not good.
No.
Because we're going to, what one would anticipate
mm-hmm.
is that we are going to continue to have more and more anger.
Right.
The people, right, more and more polarization, more and more frustration and intolerance, and we're going to have less and less of an ability to listen to the other side, because, you know, perhaps it's because I'm a hopeless optimist. I would like to think that everyone in the administration holds the best interest.
Mm-hmm.
Believes that what decisions they're making mm-hmm. are what's truly mm-hmm. best for the country. I believe the same thing about Obama. I believe the same thing about President Bush.
Right.
And you could just keep going further back. I believe that I don't believe that we've ever elected a president who was anti-American, who was against our overall ideals and perspectives and beliefs. They had very different opinions than I do. They have very different thoughts about how policy should be implemented than I do. But I don't think that anyone was here to say, at least not since I've been alive, I would say. You know, there were probably maybe some presidents before that, you know, held some beliefs that were problematic for a variety of reasons.
But there are presidents who promulgate policies that are problematic.
Right.
Okay? Torture during the Gulf War.
Right.
Bad decision. Okay.
But again,
I don't care how you justify it.
Right.
That was a bad. We don't. The America doesn't torture prisoners.
It was a horrible decision. Right. That, you know, that there were advisors that said, you know, it's probably going to be okay because this is what we need to do to get this information.
Right.
And, you know, if the person's coming from the perspective of, we just have to have that information, and to get that information, we have to waterboard someone, which is torture, which is horrible, that we should never have done that. But if that's what they're being informed is the best and only strategy to get the information we need as quickly as we can, again, I don't think that anyone in an administration is saying, you know, well, that's great because that makes us less American for us to do that. I don't think that that's the idea. I think it's all with to be patriotic, for lack of a better phrase.
But a bad decision is a bad decision.
It is.
There's no justification for torture.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So.
And any decision like that is a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, but when it comes to, again, this current situation, this current state of affairs that we're in, I think that the you know, if they have these ideas, they have these beliefs that this is what's going to happen. If we implement these strategies, if we implement these policies, this is the goal. This is where we're going to get. It's going to be hard at first, but this is what's going to be the
ultimate outcome. You're justifying this policy.
No. What I'm saying is that as horrible as that policy may be, the response can't be, all right, so let's be equally bad to them.
I agree with that.
That's where I'm going.
No, I agree with that.
I don't think that they're...
But that's a very simple, two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah.
Okay, and I agree with that part.
Yeah.
Okay.
But going against them and saying, well, you know what, and creating these conspiracies. Oh, the only reason that she went to a Mexican restaurant was because she wants to rub it in people's face.
I mean, it was stupid.
There was no reason to believe that.
It was at the very best, it was a mindless decision. I mean, on this particular day,
mm-hmm.
to go to a Mexican restaurant, who did she think was in the kitchen?
Right.
Illegal immigrants are in kitchens.
Well, you know, one of the articles that we posted was from an NPR station, and one of the things that he says in it is, you know, this could be, it could be simply an indication of how
popular.
Intricate, how much Mexican culture and cuisine mm-hmm. has just become part of American
right.
culture and cuisine.
Right.
That, you know, that maybe they didn't even think about it.
Right, because it's so common.
Yeah.
It's just a common decision. But on that, so yes, I agree with you about the conspiratorial part.
Right.
Okay, we don't have to go there.
Right.
And I certainly would not want to do one-upsmanship or tit for tat.
Right.
Okay, well, you did this, so we're going to do this. I hope that we don't descend into that that mentality. I fear that we are.
It just feels like that's where we're going.
We have a Supreme Court Justice, Kennedy, who's yeah. always been called the swing vote. He's going to be replaced. And I would hope that it's Congress's job. The president will nominate. Congress will decide. That's the way it's supposed to work. What Congress's obligation is to select the best jurist,
mm-hmm.
not the one who will support this position or that position, but a judge who has experienced
mm-hmm.
and who has been shown to be fair,
mm-hmm.
judicious, to coin a phrase, and will bring the best to the most important court in the land.
Right.
Not a judge who will support a particular position.
Right.
That's wrong no matter, I don't care what political party right. you belong to, how you define yourself, what your politics are. No, that's not how we do. Our form of government is a very, very delicate operation.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't start pushing it in one direction.
Right.
That would be, there's a danger there.
Right.
Okay. And the problem with these kinds of policy, the situation that's going on right now, is if you can deny anybody for any reason, there's no, it's very hard to stop that.
Right.
Because if you can justify it for gays, then you can justify it for other groups, and you can justify it for any group. And
right.
That's what happens in totalitarian regimes, is you say, well, we have to get rid of this group. We have to push this group aside. Well, where does it stop?
Right.
You know, what if you don't like people with brown hair? We've been through this many times in our
right.
country. And I fear that we're headed in a very bad direction by this polarization.
Right.
And the, what do we call it, politics, identity politics.
Identity,
you know,
politics, right.
We're in this identity politics. And you listen to the news, and there are news outlets that just keep these controversies going. They keep them boiling. And people are getting, you know, all worked up about this
right.
stuff. We have important problems to solve in our country.
Right.
And we're not going to solve them if every issue is a polarized issue.
Right.
We're not. Compromise is going to happen somewhere in the middle.
Has to.
People are going to have to let go of their prejudices, let go of their anger, and begins with the Congress, and they have to start working together.
Right.
And these kind of divisive issues keep pulling us apart.
Right. And the only response to that I'll say is, you said it begins with Congress. I think it begins with restaurant owners and business owners, because at some point we have to stop this nonsense.
Somebody has to stop it. Somebody has to be the adult in the room.
Right. Mm-hmm. We have to say, you know, if you want to come eat at my, if I, you know, we see patients who have completely different perspectives, worldviews than we do.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see that person, I'm going to treat them and provide the best treatment that I can for them, just like I would anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a customer coming into your store, you know, you or into your restaurant or wherever you work, denying them service doesn't further your goals. You know, it's not going to accomplish what you think it might try to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to, again, create divisiveness. It's going to create lines in the sand that, once you draw a line in the sand, you know, it's really difficult to erase that line.
Mm-hmm. I have a fantasy. The woman who owns the Red Hand,
mm-hmm.
her name is Wilkinson,
yeah.
as it turns out. Sarah?
No relation.
No relation. I would have appreciated her sitting at the table with
right.
Sanders and say, look, you're welcome to eat here,
mm-hmm.
but I just want to be able to express my views. Is
mm-hmm.
that okay? Could we
yeah.
sit and chat while you're here? Could we sit and talk about
right.
what's going on in the country today?
Right.
Or the owner of the Mexican restaurant saying, while you're here,
mm-hmm.
you know, with all the stuff that's going on, would you accompany me to the kitchen and talk to the kitchen staff?
Right.
Because they're all Latinos, okay?
Right.
Some are here illegally. Can we explain to you why we're troubled by these policies? Can we
right.
sit down and have this discussion? That's how we're going to solve the problems.
Right.
We're not going to solve them, no matter what your persuasion is. You're not going to take a Fox News approach and throw hand grenades, and
right.
you're not going to take an MSNBC approach and throw
right.
some. We have to somehow get to some middle ground.
And I think that that's where what I was trying to get to earlier when you thought that I was defending it. I don't think that Stephen Miller or Nielsen or I don't think that they hate Latinos. I don't think that they hate everyone from that culture. They dislike certain behaviors, certain things that they do, and so they're creating these policies. And maybe I'm just giving a benefit of the doubt that extends beyond where others may give them a benefit of the doubt. But that's the assumption that people are making, rightly or wrongly, and then we're engaging in behaviors based upon those assumptions. And I'm always against the idea of engaging in behaviors, especially against someone else, based upon assumptions that I'm making about something.
I guess where I am on this issue is, let's use healthcare as an example. Mm-hmm. There are parts of our country that want to get rid of everything about the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
They hate it. They hate Obama. They hate the whole thing. Okay, if you hate the Affordable Care Act, okay, you hate the Affordable, that's okay. We might not agree, but I can respect that position. What are you going to do to solve the problem? We have a crisis of health care in our right. country. Mm-hmm. It's too expensive. It's too inaccessible for too many people. There's not enough preventive care. We don't have enough people to man. It's gotten horribly, mm-hmm. obscenely expensive. And people can't get coverage. Mm-hmm. I mean, still, right. many people can't afford health coverage.
Exactly.
We don't even have decent. What are you going to put in its place? Mm-hmm. If you want to dismantle the Affordable Care, I refuse to call it Obamacare because I think that's offensive.
Right.
I think that was identity politics. If you want to dismantle the Affordable Care Act, go right ahead. But what are you going to replace it with? Because right now, we have a nightmare in our country with health care. Mm-hmm. The problem is, if you're a senator or you're a member of the House of Representatives, you don't have a health care problem because your health care, you have a Cadillac policy that you will have for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So the Congress doesn't care about health care because theirs is taken care of. Taxpayers are paying for theirs, and they have the Cadillac, best policy you can get. The rest of the country is struggling with health care. What I would ask is dismantle the Affordable Care Act, but put something in its place. Mm-hmm. Paul Ryan wants to dismantle Social Security. Okay, what are you going to put in its place? You're just going to do away with it? Mm-hmm. There's a reason we have Social Security. There's a reason we needed it 80 years ago, and there's a reason we need it today.
Right.
You want to dismantle it, fine. What are you going to replace it with? Mm-hmm. And will it work as well?
Right.
That's all most people are asking for.
Right.
Okay. So whatever we do, let's do it for the right reason. Okay. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what the decision is, but let's do it for the right reason so that it works for most of us.
Right. And again, getting away from the us and them.
That's right.
Because that just, those lines are dangerous, I think.
Absolutely.
It's just
I was thinking about this morning.
Because us and them, good and bad. I mean,
that's right.
It automatically goes into those.
When people talk about liberals, I hear people talk about, they spit the words out like they're, like liberals are some kind of diseased entity. Mm-hmm. You know, we shouldn't be there.
Right.
That level of animosity
right.
needn't exist. It existed and was settled with the Civil War.
Right.
100 and some years ago.
Right.
That's how these things get settled. When you get this level of animosity, it gets settled with bloodshed.
Right.
One way or the other. Either mm-hmm. the way that Protestant Catholics did it in the United Kingdom, or whether our civil war, or what's going on in Syria, or what happened in Bosnia where they slaughtered Muslims. These very personal identity issues get eventually lead to bloodshed. Or
right.
persecution.
Right.
In Nazi Germany, it led to the extermination. Not only Jews, gypsies, priests, gays. I mean,
right.
there were all kinds of groups who were considered enemies. North Korea does the same thing. I don't want to see our country go in that right. direction. This polarization is a problem. And I think that this whole separating children and asking people to leave your restaurants are indicative of what happens, of where this can go,
right.
and is this the kind of country we want to live in?
Right.
Lyndon Johnson used raw power when he was president. He had been Speaker of the House, and he knew how to use the power mm-hmm. of the legislative branch. Mitch McConnell's very good at it because he's been at it for a long time. Use your raw power,
right.
but use it for good.
Right.
Lyndon Johnson used raw power to give blacks rights that had been denied for 200 years.
Right.
He used it for the right reason. Whether you agree or disagree, blacks deserved the rights that they were given during the Johnson mm-hmm. administration. If you're going to use political power, use it for the right reasons.
Right.
Don't use it for the wrong reasons. Don't use it to separate children. Use it to solve the immigration crisis.
Right.
Everybody agrees we have an immigration crisis.
Yeah.
Let's all get together and solve it
right.
and stop these right. polarized decisions based on our prejudices.
Right. Yeah, we have to stop the one-upsman.
That's right.
We can't. This is not a place where you fight fire with fire.
No, no, that's it's bad for your it's bad for your mental health. It's bad that's for right. all of our. It is bad for our mental health.
Right.
To live in a polarized culture.
Fighting fire with fire just ends up with everything burned.
That's right. So. Everything's going to be charred.
All right. That's it.
We would love to hear from you about how to solve some of these problems. We have got to find a way.
Yeah.
We have a crisis in education in our country. We have all kinds of problems that need to be solved.
Yeah.
And we're not going to solve them unless we start sitting down together in good faith
right.
Come up with solutions that work for everybody.
Absolutely. So. All right. That's it for today. Until next time.
I understand now why we've never done this before.
I know.
It's hard to talk about it because we all have strong beliefs, you know,
right.
but we can't let our beliefs, our truth, because other people have other opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I have family members who are on a completely different political spectrum than I am, but somehow we have to find a way to work together.
Right.
Even in my own family, we have to find a way to talk to each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. All right. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.
Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.